Well, that'll reach down into the deep recesses of your soul right there. And I appreciate all the singing today. The congregational as well as the special music has been a blessing. If you have your Bible, I'm going to ask you to turn to 1 Thessalonians. We'll get back into 1 Thessalonians. We have just a few more messages and we'll be through with the book of 1 Thessalonians. Today, with the help of the Lord, I want to speak to you about a very important matter. Of course, all the Bible's important, but I want to speak to you about an important matter. And the Apostle Paul, writing here, has begun to just give some quick imperatives, beginning with verse number 16. We said that these commandments, these imperatives, were given to enhance the relationship between believers and the chief shepherd. You may recall when we began this section, and it begins actually back in verse number 11, it talks about the relationship that the sheep are to have with the shepherd, and there ought to be that in the church. To have a healthy church, there has to be. And then the sheep with the sheep, the shepherd with the sheep, and now the sheep to the good shepherd. And he began by saying in verse number 16, rejoice evermore. That's an imperative. That's not a suggestion. That's an imperative. It's a commandment. You do that, you're saved, and there's always something to rejoice about. Now, there'll always be something that you will maybe not be able to rejoice about in life, but there's always something in life to rejoice about as a believer. And then he said, pray, in verse number 17, without ceasing. And so I like the fullness of these words. You're to evermore be rejoicing. You're without ceasing to be praying. And then he said in verse number 18, in everything give thanks. You see the fullness of these words. And so here is the character of the Christian experience wrapped up right here. Sometimes we measure our spirituality by things we do or don't do. And we can measure our Christianity by trite, trivial things. But here, the Apostle Paul was saying, this is where it's at right here. Are you saved? And if you're saved, do you understand what it means to belong to God? And if you understand what it means to belong to God, then you should be rejoicing forevermore. That God is your Savior. That's right. And you should be praying without ceasing. To have a resource like God. God is our resource, brethren. To have a resource for the prayer lines to be open, to have a great high priest who ever liveth to make intercession for us, to have Jesus seated at the right hand of God the Father, we should be praying without ceasing. And then he said in verse 18, in everything give thanks. Now some people have connected, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you, with just that one imperative, but I think it's all of them. It is the will of God for you, for me, as believers, for us to be rejoicing forevermore. It is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you, me, us, as believers, to be praying without ceasing. And then it is God's will that we are to give thanks in everything. Now these are three good positions. These are our characters and characteristics that as believers we ought to have toward God. Then he says this in verse number 19. He says, quench not the Spirit. Well, I believe verse 19 is right in the middle of two sets of imperatives. Verse 19 is saying, now don't quench the Spirit by always walking around drab. No joy. Because the fruit of the Spirit is love, but it's also what? Joy. Right? Love. Peace. Joy. This is the ninefold fruit of the Spirit. And so when I grieve, when I quench the Holy Spirit, it's when I'm acting in a matter that's not consistent to what God saved me to be. God didn't save me to be sad. I was sad when God found me. Amen. Amen. You say, now wait a minute. Hold it. Are you saying that as a believer that I should always be rejoicing. No, I'm not saying it. God is. I'm just telling you what God said. Verse 16. You say, well, can I be sad? Did you know that as a Christian, you can experience joy right in the middle of sorrow? That's the wonderful thing about Christianity. We do sorrow, but we do not sorrow as others, which have no hope. Because there is a hope that is steadfast and sure, brethren. And that hope is Jesus. That hope is eternal life. That hope is to know this world is not our home. We're pilgrims and strangers, brethren. We're just passing through here. Amen. We're here, but just for a short season. For in this life only we have hope in Christ. Well, then we would be of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead. And he has become the first fruits of them which slept. And because Jesus rose, brethren, we who were saved are going to rise in his likeness. I'd say that's something to rejoice about. Amen. Pray without ceasing. You say, I'm caught up on my prayer. I don't believe you. I never get caught up on my prayer. I'm always running behind in that department. Amen? There's always something we should be praying about. Now, don't get the idea that I'm telling you or that Paul's telling us that we have to walk around chanting a prayer all day, every day. That's not what Paul's saying. We talked about that. Be in constant communion with God. Keep the prayer lines open, right? Don't let anything between you and the Savior. Go boldly before the throne of his grace. Don't you let the flesh, don't you let the enemy, don't you let the devil keep you from praying. God has said pray. You do what God said and not your flesh. And then he said in everything give thanks. There's always something in everything that we could give thanks about. And we've talked about those. And he says, so don't quench the spirit. That word quench, it views the spirit as a fire. And fire does a lot of things. It warms us, right? Fire warms us. I'm glad for that warmth of that communion with God that we have with the Holy Spirit, as he is our comforter. He's our teacher, brethren, right? He leads us and he guides us into all truth. The wonderful ministry of the Holy Spirit keeps the fire in my soul lit, and I'm thankful for that. And I have been instructed by the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, you have been instructed now, don't quench the fire. Let the fire burn. That's right. Let the fire burn. Let God burn in your life. Quench not the Spirit. So he said, here's three things I want you to do. I hope you'll remember these now. Always be rejoicing. Always be praying. And always be giving thanks. And now he said, I want to tell you a couple of things not to do. Don't quench the Holy Spirit. Don't quench him. Don't do it your way now. Do it God's way. And he said, one of the greatest ways that you can quench the Spirit, now follow this now, and this is what we're going to talk about this morning. Despise not prophesies. What a statement. You know, I really started to get really in depth in this. Not that I'm some kind of, you know, that I could get really in depth. I know more than I'm going to tell you this morning. I'll just leave it at that. Now, the reason I'm not trying to purposefully leave something out, it's just there's something that I know God wants me to get to you today. And in order for me to get there, I'm going to have to leave some things out. You see, you have to understand, this is a young church that the Apostle Paul's writing to. It's an infant church. And it's a strong church. There's no way you can read these first, well, actually chapter 1. He said, listen, he said, your faith is spoke of everywhere. He said, you're full of enthusiasm. You're on fire. That's what he's saying. You're on fire. You're expecting Jesus to come back. You're full of enthusiasm for the things of God and the Word of God. When you received the Word in chapter 2, verse number 13, he said, you didn't receive it as it was the Word of a man. You received it as it is in truth, the Word of God. I mean, these people were on fire, brethren. And the Apostle Paul was hearing things, and he had sent Timothy back to find out their condition. And he said, I'm praying for you in chapter 3. And we talked about it. He said, I'm praying for your faith. I'm praying for your love. And he said, I'm excited about what God is doing in that church. Everybody's talking about it. You know, a church and a community ought to get some people stirred up and talking about it. Amen. And I believe when we're doing it God's way, it will get some people fired up and talking about it. And so the Apostle Paul said, I'm excited for you, and I want you to keep growing. But now, if you're going to keep growing, now don't miss this now. You're going to have to learn what it is not to despise prophesyings. Now, the canon of Scripture was not complete. And so when men spoke in this day, the Apostle Paul and others, please don't think that they had a Bible like you and I have. Now, they did have access to some Scripture, most of it Old Testament. The Bible even says, remember when Jesus resurrected and he was walking on the road of Emmaus, the Bible says that those two disciples, that what our Lord Jesus did is that he began at Moses and all the prophets, and he expounded unto them the things in the Scriptures concerning himself. Now, I'm not so sure that Jesus didn't have a scroll. I don't know. Jesus is the Word of God. He doesn't need a scroll. He is the scroll. Amen. And I'm not saying that when Paul and missionary teams traveled around that they did not have copies of the Scripture, because you will find where the Apostle Paul said, hey, when you read this letter, I want you to pass it on to some other churches so they can read this letter too. And these letters, just like we have them today, many of them were circulating among the churches that the Apostle Paul had founded in that day. But I am saying this. While they did not have a Bible as you and I have it today, God moved on those men and he spoke immediately through them. He spoke through those men. When the Apostle Paul would preach, God was speaking through him. And many of the things that the Apostle Paul would speak, or many of the things that the Apostle Paul would write in a letter unto these churches, God, what we called, canonized them. He inspired these holy men of old as they spake, and they were moved on by the Holy Ghost of God. And therefore, we have the inspiration of the Scripture. Now, I want to talk to you about the importance of the Bible this morning. I want you to understand the book that you hold in your hand is not just a collective writing of men. It is the Word of God. And it is to be respected as the Word of God. It is to be revered as the Word of God. It is to be received as the Word of God. It is to be responded to as the Word of God. And the Apostle Paul said, don't you get to the place when you look that word despise up, it's a word that we get our word contempt. Don't you hold the Word of God in contempt. Don't you sit there like, well, I've heard this before, I don't need this. You need every bit of it and then some. You're broke. God's still working on you. I'm broken. Listen to me. We're broken, brethren. God's still putting us back together. Listen now. We have not arrived. We don't come to church because we know it all. We come to church because we need to know more. We don't have preaching just so we can teach the young converts. If you've been here and you've been saved 50, 60, 70 years, you still need Bible preaching. I still need Bible preaching. And I don't need to get to the place where I just say, well, it's just another preaching service. Just another passage of Scripture. Just a pastor getting a little animated and telling us a few more things. No, we need to be hungering for the Word of God. We need to be trembling under the Word of God. We need to be thirsting for the Word of God. We need God to do something in our hearts and in our lives to stir us up. You see that word quench there? when Paul wrote young Timothy, he said, Timothy, stir up the gift of God which is in thee. Poke that fire some. Amen. Stir up some things. Get that fire burning again in your soul. You've lost a little bit of the edge, and you've gotten to the place to where you think you're okay. Can I tell you, no one under the sound of my voice is okay. If we are good at all, we are what we are by the grace of God. Brethren, there is so much work that needs to be done in my life. I need God to do something in my heart and in my life. You need God to do something in your heart and in your life. Don't you despise. Don't you think I'm okay. You're not okay. Don't you believe you. Don't you believe you. You was lying to you. Let the Holy Ghost of God, don't you quench him now. Let the Holy Ghost of God tell you, you're in need of something this morning. You have a need in your life. You say, preacher, I feel okay. Feelings will deceive you. We're not okay. I'm not fussing at you. I'm trying to stir us up a little bit. I'm trying to get us to see. It starts with me. I feel like the chief of sinners in here this morning. Please listen to me. We think we're okay, and we think, well, I know this, and I know that, and I've experienced this, and I've experienced that. There is yet much to be done in God's people. There is much to be done in this ministry. This ministry is barely off the ground. We're like these folks back in Thessalonica, brethren. If we're not careful, we'll sit there and content, doze off, and go to sleep while the man of God's preaching. Ought to be ashamed of yourself in case you're on medication. Now, I'm serious. I know how medication makes you sleepy. But if you stayed up last night, I'm talking to you about despising the Word of God. And you're going to get mad at me. But I didn't come here to make any friends. Listen to me. What we need is some good, straight, strong preaching, brethren. We don't need somebody to coddle us, and I know that's not what you're asking for. I understand that. I know who I'm preaching to. But we'll stay up to 11, 12, 1 o'clock in the morning watching something dumb or doing something silly, and then drag into the house of God on Sunday morning and about fall out to sleep and then leave and say, that was a good service. Well, my soul, we need somebody to fire us up. And that somebody is the Holy Ghost of God. Man can't do it, brethren. What you have this morning, your preacher doesn't have the ability to do for you. But the God that lives in you, if you will open up to God this morning, if right now, instead of getting mad at the preacher, if you'll say, God, he's right. God, I need you. God, I don't want to go through 2026 without you. God, stir me up. God, do something in my life. Shake me, God, shake me. Wake me up, Lord. Wake me up. Too long have I just gone through the motions and checked the boxes, and I think I'm okay, and I have a good family, and thank God you do, and I'm saved, and thank God you are, and I'm going to heaven, thank God that you are. I belong to a good church, and thank God that you do. But now listen to me. There's more to life in those things. We need to get hungry again. Hungry for the power and the presence of God. I was telling our Sunday school class, you know, we begin to despise God's Word when we become so familiar with it. And we think, well, you know, I know what that means. Or I've already heard that. And we think that we're okay because we've heard a lot of preaching. I've been saved for 44, 45 years. And there's probably very few days that's gone by in my life as a Christian where I hadn't heard some kind of exhortation, some kind of preaching. Through commentary, through reading, through listening, through attending. And if I'm not careful as your pastor, I'll just take a passage of Scripture and say, well, that's just that passage of Scripture. I've preached that. I've heard it preached. I've read it. I broke it down. I've done an exegesis on it. I've done an exposition on it. But listen to me. Until I've let it get deep down in my soul and it become a part of who I am, There's still work to do. Still work to do. How about you? So when Paul was writing these folks here in Thessalonica, what he was saying was this. He was saying, now folks, he was saying, don't despise. Now he told them some things to do. He said, now you be rejoicing. And you be praying. And you be giving thanks. But now guard against quenching the Holy Spirit. When the preacher's preaching something you agree with, hey man, preacher, preach, camp out there, stay there a while. And then when the preacher gets into the scripture and it starts getting a little close to home and the Spirit of God starts saying, hey, you need some work right there, my friend. You need to change the way you're living. Now all of a sudden, well, now wait a minute. You're despising prophesying. You like to pick and choose what you're going to accept. As long as the preacher's preaching that you agree with it. But you let somebody start talking about something that you're struggling with or that you have rebelled against, and now all of a sudden, I don't know what got in our pastor this morning. We've all done it, brethren. I've done it. Doesn't make it okay, though. It makes us really a sad case, doesn't it? If the only thing I can get excited about in God's Word is the part I agree with, I've got a ways to go. And I'm here to confess to you this morning, your pastor has a ways to go. Don't despise prophesying. Don't do it. Don't get to that place in your life where you just want to pick and choose what you accept from the Bible. This book is all God's Word, brethren. See, I don't have to, it's God's Word whether I agree with it or not. I think sometimes we've gotten to the place where we say, well, you know, I agree with the pastor on that one, so I think we'll be okay. I was telling our Sunday school class this morning, and I mean this, if you think, I hope you're not one of those people, and I don't think you are, but I don't know, there's people who say, well, you know, I've got to agree with everything that the pastor agrees with or I can't be a member of the church. If you'll give me about 10 minutes, we'll empty this place out. What do you mean by that? I mean, there's always going to be things that we disagree on. Now, I'm not talking about the fundamentals of the faith. I'm talking about truths in the Scripture that we see a little different. It could be something on giving. That's right. It could be something on apparel. It could be something on what is faithfulness. It could be something on soul winning, drawing the net. It could be something on what we call eschatology or the second coming of Christ. Yeah. It could be something on the final judgment of the lost. It could be something on Israel in the New Testament. We could go on and on and on. But I'm not here to divide. I'm here to preach the word to you, to be instant in season and out of season, to reprove and to rebuke and to exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Because you need it, and I need it. Tonight I'm going to come, and I'm going to sit right down here, and this man right here, if things go the way God has ordained them in the time past, tonight I'll come, and I'll sit, and I'll listen, and I'll sit down there with my heart and my Bible open, and I'll listen just like you're listening right now. You know why? I need it. That's why. You do too. Say, well, my mind's on something else during the preaching. You're despising prophesying. So, well, we got a big day planned after the service today. You're despising prophesying, and I'm trying to help you. Well, I've just got to pass this note. That's why I sit by my friends in church. Parents, be careful about that sitting by your friends stuff. You say, well, my kids would never not listen in church. You need a wake-up call. But just to be fair to our young people, some of you parents are not listening either. And we think we gotta pass notes or we gotta smirk or smile or share something a little funny when the man of God's preaching. Listen to me now. You're despising prophesying. While you're finding something funny, the Spirit of God's trying to get your attention so he can get you straightened up in your Christian life. But we done been in church so long now to where we think we can talk and listen and we can think about other things and think about what God wants us to think about all at the same time. That's a lie of the devil, brethren. Because God wants to hold us accountable, and he's going to hold us accountable for what is preached from this pulpit when it comes from this book. And when Paul told the people in Thessalonica, I'm sure it done them like it's done some of you this morning, like, what? When Paul said, hey, you're enthusiastic. You're excited. You're looking for Jesus to come. When you hear the word, you receive it not as the word of a man, but the word of God. You've got things going on out there in Thessalonica. Then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, he says, don't you despise prophesying. They probably thought, whoa, man, back up, read that again. He said, what? He said, don't you despise prophesying. You got to where you are by listening, by obeying the scripture. And if we plan to move forward in our Christian experience, if we plan on growth and maturity, see, I don't want to become stale, brethren. I don't believe you do. But I don't know anything that'll kill a church more, listen, more quicker or more quickly than to take lightly the preaching, the thing that God has chosen above every other way to communicate his word, the preaching of the word, and take it lightly. Say, well, it's time for preaching. I guess I can think now on what I'm going to do after the service. It's time for preaching. I think I'll hit my friend up. See if I can get a snicker or a laugh out of him. Oh, brethren, please. The Apostle Paul said, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't. Let's look at the verse. Despise. It speaks of contempt, the word there. It's to treat lightly, to regard as not worthy, to look down upon, to set at naught. You say, well, preacher, we would never do that. Oh, listen, I know what it is to sit and try to stay focused, and there's things happening around us, and the devil's trying to get our attention off of what the man of God is saying, and we have so many things going on in our lives, but this is a time that we are to be still, to take time to be holy and say, God, speak, your servant heareth. God, give me something that's going to help me. I need my life changed. I'm not okay with where I'm at. While I thank you for all that you've done, God, I believe there's yet more you want to do in my life. Please don't let me get comfortable, Lord. Please don't let me get comfortable. God, if you don't help me, I will. I'll get comfortable. And I'll think I'm okay. I'll approach life like I'm all right. And God, deep down in my heart, I know I'm not all right. See, I'm with me when I'm alone. God, you're with me when I'm alone. And you know. You know what others don't know. God, you know me like no other knows me. And you know I need some help, Lord. You listening, church? This is what Paul's saying. Despise not. This is not a suggestion. This is a forthright, strong command. Don't you do it now, Paul said. He didn't explain himself. He didn't try to elaborate on it. He just said, don't do it. Didn't he? You say, preacher, you're preaching to us like we're a bunch of sinners. I'm glad you got the message. We are sinners. Now, thank God we're saved. But there's an enemy that's trying to keep me, your pastor, and you from reaching our fullest potential in Christ. And the greatest way I know he can do it is verse 19 and 20. Are you listening to me? Quench the spirit and despise the message. You'll be following afar off a lot quicker than you realize. I'll be following afar off a lot quicker than I realize when these two things are allowed. There's a third, and I'll get to it next week. But I'm going to close right here. I want you to look at this third thing he says in verse number 21. Prove all things. Don't come to church and let somebody preach to you without your Bible open. Don't you let this pastor, don't you let that pastor, don't you let anybody in this church or someone we have to come, don't you go somewhere else and sit there and take it in and not prove it by the scripture. That's what Paul was telling these folks. Listen, they didn't have a Bible to prove it by. They relied on the Spirit of God. That's why he said, don't quench him. He needs to be active in your life so that when you're hearing God-ordained truth, you can apply that truth to your life. And when it's not God-ordained truth, you can stand up and say, ho, 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 there's something not right here. We said we was going to do this God's way. I want to know what saith the Scriptures. Be careful. Be careful. Don't take lightly. Can I ask you, from if you haven't done it and you're not doing it, could I please ask you as your pastor, every time we meet here, would you go before God and say, God, please speak to me today? A lot of times we say, y'all have a good service. Well, naturally, the answer to that's yes. And we do have good spirit-filled services. But I'll tell you the best kind of service, when God speaks to me. When God speaks to me. I don't know that I could really say it was a good service if God didn't speak to me. But you see, the thing is, God desires to speak to me. But I have to be careful, and I'm being warned here, don't you despise when he does. Don't you despise it. Don't you take it lightly. Don't you disregard it now. Don't you just chalk this up as, well, another church service. No, God has something special he wants to say each time that he speaks to you, each time that he speaks to me. Despise not, prophesy. Preacher, what can I do? I find myself sometimes wondering, and I do too. Listen, I'm ashamed. I'm ashamed at the times that I kneel to pray. And my mind wanders, and I have to call my mind back in. I'm ashamed. All that God has done for me. And I have to remind myself, hey, you're talking to the God of heaven here. If I see it as often as you did, my mind would probably wonder some too. I'm not making excuses for you. I'm just saying, let's be careful. Let's get hungry again, brethren. Well, I tell you, there's a difference when you sit down at the table and you just want something to eat versus when you're hungry. You know what I'm talking about? You know what it is to sit down at the table and you're having something you like and so you just want something to eat? But when you've been a while without food, and you hear, you can even hear, I mean, this thing's getting close to getting ready here. Amen. I hear some silverware tingling. I hear some ice cubes chattering. Drinks are being made. We getting ready for this thing to happen. When you're hungry, it's different. It's different. I think we've lost our hunger. I can't judge you. I'm just saying collectively. And I want to be hungry. So what can we do, Pastor? Well, I want to give you a few things, and I hope you'll write them down, and then we'll pray, and our service will be over today. I wrote a few things down, and I don't have all the answers. I don't. I think it would start by just following the simple, taking in the context of what it's given. And I try to be a contextual man. I do. I try to take things in the context in which they're given. I think we need to focus on rejoicing for what God has done in our life. Rejoicing for what God is doing in our life. And then we need to get to praying. Praying helps me to get in a mode of receiving God and His Word. Prayer puts me in a good mindset for when prophesying is taking place. Or preaching, that's what he's talking about. Now I realize in this day it's different, and I didn't want to go into that. But prophesying is proclaiming. Now there was a foretelling in prophesying. That day is over. Now it's forthtelling. It's proclaiming that body of truth that we call the Scripture. It's preaching the Word. I need to learn what it is to give thanks. You see, I believe if I begin to do these things and I become sensitive of the Spirit of God in my life to where I don't want to quench Him and I want to be obedient to Him and the ear of my heart is open to the Spirit of God in my life. You see what I'm saying? Then I can get to the place where I can take this despise not prophesying really, really seriously. What's it look like? Number one, stay in the Word. Stay in the Word. I believe the more we're in the Word, it creates that hunger in our heart for more of the Word. Stay in the Word. As you leave today, I'm going to give you a Bible reading schedule. It's based on 25 days every month. Regardless if the month has 30 days, 31 days, 28 days, 25 days of reading different scriptures, some old, some New Testament, each day, about four chapters a day, you'll read the Bible through in a year. You say, well, preacher, I have my own Bible reading schedule. Okay. I'd like for many people to join me in this, and let's do it together. If you don't, I'm not angry at you. I'm just trying to give you an avenue to despise not prophesying. Get in the Word. And I believe the more words you get in you, the more you'll want to listen to. It'll create that hunger and that thirst for more. God's Word does that. God's Word does that. And so you'll get one of these on the way out if you choose. Our ushers will hand you one of these. And it's very simple. You just read the day one. It's got first month, 25 days. You just read first day, 25 days. Second month, 25 days. You just read through. I have sat down at my desk and made up about 25 verses of scripture to memorize on God's holiness. It's just something God's been speaking to me about. God is holy. I need a fresh look at who God is, brethren. God is not a man. God doesn't think like a man and act like a man that I would treat Him as a man. I need to hallow God's name. I need to make God different in my life. I want to separate God, and I want God to be high and lifted up in my life. And so I want to memorize verses on His holiness. I hope you'll get a copy of this. There'll be a copy for you if you'd like one. You say, well, I'm not going to memorize 25 verses a month, Pastor. Okay, memorize 10. Choose ones on here that you'd like to memorize and memorize them. I'm just an all-in guy. If I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it. And if you want to do five, that's not going to make you less of anything than me. It's not. Or anyone else as far as that goes. Commit in your heart. I'm going to sit and listen to preaching, and then I'm going to let God examine my heart. We're going to do that right now. Would you stand? You say, every time I come to church, before I get there, I'm going to say, God, speak to me. God, please speak to me. I need you to speak to me, Lord. I fear that one of the reasons we're not being spoken to anymore is we've quit doing what God spoke to us about. I hope you're not one of those people. When God speaks to you, get it right. So I'll get it right tomorrow. No, you get it right now. God spoke to you. Get it right. Keep a clean slate before the Lord. Would you do that? Would you? Would you come and avail yourself Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night to Bible preaching? Would you not despise and just put off, oh, well, I've got other things going on. I won't be at church. Now, listen, if you're sick, just like I said earlier, and I meant that when I said that, there's people that take medication, makes them sleepy. And I would never say anything detrimental towards you. But when our negligence and our despising is because of our laziness and because of our ill-preparedness and because we stay up and we busy ourselves with trivial and not important things in life and then come to the house of God and our mind's on everything except for what it needs to be on, well, then shame on us. We need God to stir us up. How are you doing? You say, sounds like God got a hold of your heart a little bit, preacher. Oh, he done more than that. God rebuked me. I'm okay with God rebuking me. God tells me what to do when I let him. And sometimes I'm so stubborn, I don't do what God says do. But I'm glad God is long-suffering. He says, I'm going to tell you again, son. I want it done this way. Yes, sir. I'm sorry I didn't listen the first time. How about you? Would you bow your head with me?